Welcome to the Editor's Weekly Podcast. This is episode 6. And this week we're talking about great gaming on the go. That would be with your DS or PSP or whatever it is you choose to use to play games. Some people choose to use their iPhone, but we don't have iPhones because we're too poor. We're a poor couple. So, we don't have iPhones right now. But we do have DS Lites and original brick Game Boys and a Game Boy SP and a GBA, a regular Game Boy Advance, and a Game Boy Pocket. And I think even a Game Boy Color. I think I've bought all iterations of the Game Boy. So we do know a little something about gaming on the go, you know, taking your DS with you or whatever you use to play games on the road and when you're waiting for stuff. This week we're joined by regular contributor and newly minted associate editor Jamie Mosley.
Yo yo, what's up?
He does this every week now. He also has a DS. He has a DS Lite. So he and I tend to play together sometimes. Depends on what game it is, but we try to play together from time to time. But we each have our own DS and our own set of games that we really like, and we each have cases that are really nice, which we'll discuss later on what we carry our gear in, along with accessories that we find useful. So, Jamie, what's up?
Not too much. Just sitting around, hanging out. Been playing some portable gaming lately.
So what have you been playing?
Lately, actually, all I've been in the mood for was some Puzzle Quest on my DS. It's a pretty interesting mix. I'm not really big on puzzle games, but since it has that role-playing value in there, you know, and it kind of throws it in and I can level up, I do enjoy it thoroughly.
Yeah, Puzzle Quest Challenge of the Warlords was like a surprise sleeper hit on DS. And I remember when it first came out, it was like, wow. I don't play those kinds of games a whole lot. I mean, I play RPGs, but not... I gotta really, really be into said RPG to really play it. So, when I saw that one, I was like, ooh, this looks kind of cool. Like, I'll even try this. And then, of course, it's got the Bejeweled part. That's the part that appeals to me because I'm more of a puzzle game player. And that's the majority of the games that I have on DS are puzzle games. So, I have a few platformers, but mostly puzzle games. And surprising because I really don't play puzzle games on my main consoles. I just don't. Like, I choose to not play them there. I like them in bite-sized versions on the DS. But, yeah, Puzzle Quest is pretty good. I like it. I even like some of the little music on there. I went and got some of the music for it. But, I have a... I can't even remember what my character is. I think I'm a fire chick or something. I have, like, the fire category. I have the fire category, so I'm leveling up all my reds and stuff. I think that's what my character is. I think that's the character class I have on there.
Sorcerer, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's a sorcerer. I don't remember. It's been a little while since I played it. I had to buy it again after all my stuff got stolen. Like 2 years ago, I had to buy it again and level up my character again. So I start all over, and I can't remember. I think I did pick the sorcerer class the first time. I think I was also a sorcerer. I'm not sure, but I know that I have to level up my fire moves, so I must be a sorcerer.
I'm a druid. It's obvious, since you couldn't remember you were a sorcerer, that the World of Warcraft fans would be extremely upset. But it's okay, because Puzzle Quest is awesome. No one gets in fights about Puzzle Quest like they do on WoW.
Yeah, well, y'all World of Warcraft folks are a strange breed of people. I'll give y'all that. The game is, I can understand why you'd be really into it, but I can't play it very well. So And I haven't even really tried it. Like, it just looks like a whole lot of work. And it's a lot of effort involved. So, I kind of shy away from that. Because, I mean, mostly, I don't have time. So, but that's what I like about my DS is that I can like, pick it up and play it whenever I really feel like it. And then, you know, put it down and go. And it's kind of the same thing with main consoles, but I like the portability of being able to take certain games with me when I go somewhere. Like, especially, like, say, when we go on trips together. I like to take my DS with me because I might be in the mood for some Animal Crossing, or I might feel like playing, all of a sudden feel like playing Super Mario Brothers, which I have on GBA. I have the classic series Super Mario Brothers. I might be in the mood to play that. So, I like being able to take it with me. And then, like, most of the time, whenever I play my DS, I'm usually in bed. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm laying in bed, getting ready to go to sleep. And, you know, I'll play a couple of games of whatever is currently in my DS. Like, right now, Crosswords, or, the DS Crosswords by Nintendo is in there. And I like to play the Anagrams. I actually play Anagrams because that helps me with my job as a copy editor. It improves my vocabulary. So, I've been playing that recently. What have you been playing other than Puzzle Quest?
Lately, all I've been playing is, I've been playing a lot of Puzzle Quest. I play Final Fantasy Tactics Advance 2. But right now, I'm kind of bummed out on it. I didn't save, and I went, like, 5 hours without saving, and I died, so I didn't want to start over. I like playing my handheld mainly because I get the urge from time to time to pull out The Legend of Zelda. And getting that nice classic feeling stuff, pulling out the old NES, I decided to stick it in there, you know. Go ahead and go at it against Ganon a couple times, and, you know, I can shut it off and start something else. It's a great thing to have it on the go.
Yeah, you mean the classic series Zelda.
Yes, very much so. I love the original.
Yeah, that's actually, I love the classic series. Because they released a lot of stuff on there that should be, you know, in every gamer's library. Like Metroid, Legend of Zelda, Super Mario Brothers, Castlevania. I have that too. Excitebike. It was something else too that was really, I think they did Ice Climber, I'm not sure. Can't remember right off the top of my head, but I know they did Excitebike because we had Excitebike, and I know they did Castlevania because I got that one.
They did Ice Climbers.
I also got, see, I'm a Mario fangirl, so I have like every Mario released on GBA. Like I have in the Advance series, I have Super Mario Brothers Classic Series. Then I got Super Mario Advance, which was Mario 2 on GBA. That was my first GBA game, actually. Then I have Super Mario Advance 3, I think is what it is. Super Mario Brothers 3. Then I have Super Mario Advance 2, which is Mario World. And then I have Super Mario 64 DS for the DS, specifically made for the DS. Even though I wasn't a big fan of Super Mario 64. I enjoy playing it though because it's real decent. Like I like having all of the Mario series portable so that I can pick up and play any Mario game that I really feel like playing right then. And it has its advantages for playability on the DS. Sometimes I think the controls are a little wonky in Mario 64, but for the most part, I enjoy just having the Mario series to be able to pick it up and play whenever I feel like it, and being able to use I have a Game Shark GBA that I can use for certain Mario games that I really feel like. So, other stuff that I've been playing, besides Crosswords DS, I've been playing Scribblenauts, which is interesting. I bought Scribblenauts when it came out because I've been waiting on it. And Scribblenauts is weird, but it's very, very interesting game.
Scribblenauts is a good game. You can type in almost anything and stuff pop up. Now, I have to say, I just tried it a little bit, but I seem to like the concept about it. You know, they don't let you put crazy stuff in there, but it's still pretty good that you can put a Medusa in there. And then you can get an axe and you can cut Medusa up in half and everything. Use a hit to... Maybe you want to just kill the vampires. So you hold a Medusa head up and then turn them to stone. It's great.
Yeah, I like... They actually do let you put crazy stuff in there. Like, you can put... You can type in black hole and you get a black hole. Of course, it sucks in your character and you die. But it's... You can use the black hole for certain challenges. I've read some of the facts online at Game Facts, and the guy suggested using a black hole for it. And I was like, wow, I just used a black hole to stop bombs so I can jump over here, get the little star, get a little tool to fly over there, and then come back down, pop a lever, and then get the little star right, which is weird. That I used a black hole. But it's insanely creative. It's very creative. It's probably one of the best games out on DS right now. My only problem with it is sometimes the controls are weird because they mapped all the controls, like picking up objects, interacting with objects and NPCs, they kinda get in the way. And moving Maxwell, who's the main character, moving Maxwell and interacting with objects sometimes is frustrating because they're both mapped to the touch screen. And so sometimes you can be trying to pick something up, but you'll move Maxwell at the same time. And I that bothers me because sometimes then you die. Like in the one thing where I had to kill the bee. And there was a shark in the water, too, at the same time. And you had to get across this pond, where the shark was, to get flowers. Well, I kept getting stung by the bee until I realized, duh, you gotta type in... I mean, you gotta kill the bee. Because obviously, you know, you're not gonna get around the bee without getting stung. So, I put in bug spray. I wound up typing in bug spray. Used the bug spray on the bee. Then I threw something in the water, I think, to kill the shark. Oh, no, I wound up using a fishing rod to snatch the shark out of the water. Or no, it wasn't a shark. It was a piranha. It was actually a piranha. My bad. I used a fishing rod to snatch the piranha out of the water and then flew over because the flower, like, fell in the water or something. So I had to go over there and get it. But it was weird. It was really weird. I wound up passing the challenge, but... I mean, I was trying to think of ways to, like, kill the piranha without getting eaten up by the piranha. It was weird, but it was... I like the concept of Scribblenauts, and seeing as though they'll probably have a sequel, I'm hoping that they will fix the problem with the controls being so loose and sensitive and being mapped to the control screen. I meant to the tap screen.
Now, I see great things with that game. It's probably going to get ported over to some of the main consoles. It won't just be confined to just the DS. I can see it in things such as like the PS3 and the 360 because you can put a keyboard on there then and just start typing away. Use controls separately. They would definitely do a sequel because it was highly sought after before the game even came out. So I would definitely be looking forward for a sequel.
Yeah, I remember it when I saw it at E3. I saw it right before E3, and then during E3, I kept my eye on it because I wanted to see what they'd come up with, different stuff. The game does have this annoying quirk of freezing. It'll freeze up, but I expect that. I kind of expect that because you're putting, like, a whole bunch of crap on screen at one time, and the game has to be able to handle that. So I'm expecting it to freeze up. When you do that, I mean, it froze up on me the first night that I had it, so I wasn't really shocked by that, but at the same time, I was like, come on, y'all, it just froze on me, but I haven't had it freeze on me in the actual game. It's only been in the beginning part when you're in the little sandbox part, and you can experiment with it. That's the only part where I've really had it freeze up consistently, but... Yeah, you try putting 15 million things on screen and expecting not to expecting it not to freeze up is probably not smart. But
yeah, I mean, it is on a DS, so you know, it is limiting to what it can do. And they put it on a well, I don't think they could have put it on the disc right then. You know, they didn't think about it. Probably wouldn't have been a big thing. But if they do put it on the disc and it frees up, then people should complain a lot. But I think right now, I think it'd be a great job what they did.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought they did a great job getting all of that into one cart and making it work. And it's still a little awkward. It's kind of a little awkward and clumsy. But for the value, I was very impressed. I got it for $30. And as a matter of fact, that's probably the best $30 I've spent on a game in a long time, other than maybe the original Pokemon Red that I bought when Pokemon came out. That was pretty good $30 I spent too. And that was $30 when it came out, and then it went up to $34.99, which is the usual Nintendo price. But speaking of which, yeah, that's one of the games I really, 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 that really got me into using my Game Boy. I bought Pokemon Red in 98 when it came out. And immediately, I mean, it had a lot going on at one time, but it's probably one of the most simplistic RPG games you'll ever play. It's really, really simple. It's, you know, paper, rock, scissors-based stuff, but and on the surface, it seems like there's not a whole lot of depth to it, because you're just, you know, you get these monsters, you battle them, you use other monsters to catch other monsters, and you store them in a little box, and when you go fight other people who have the same kind of monsters, then you use certain moves to knock out the little creatures, and then you become the battling champion, basically is the storyline of Pokemon, the original Pokemon. And there's 150 of the little monsters. Excuse me, 151. There's 151 little monsters that you can catch. So, I mean, like, on the surface, there's not a whole lot of depth there. But when you get to playing Pokemon, not only is it addictive, it's a lot more there than what it seems. So, I liked the original Pokemon a lot. I remember going to get it and playing, and I stayed up all night to play it, and I had to go to school the next day, and I wound up going and talking to some other kids at school and found out that they had bought Pokemon too, and you know, I was trading back and forth because I was on a quest to get all 150 of them, but at the time, to get the 150, and then I got Mew like a year later when Toys R Us did the promotion for giving away Mew, and they added him to your cart. But yeah, I liked Pokemon originally. And I even tried to play a little bit of Gold and Silver, but by then it was kind of like, I don't recognize any of these little creatures, and they're not as innovative, so I'm going to stop playing Pokemon. But that was one of my first forays in the GBA and GB gaming. What about you?
I think the first game that I played in Game Boy was probably Tetris. Yep. Yeah, it was Tetris.
Yeah, I played a lot of Tetris, too.
I remember playing that, and it originally started out as my aunt made me play it as a punishment for, so I won't go outside. That's the reason why she had me do it. Just like, here's the Game Boy. Come in the house. You have to play it. You can't go outside for the next 30 minutes. Play this game. And it was Tetris. So in the beginning, I absolutely hated Tetris, because it was a punishment. But after my family realized that I was beginning to like Tetris, they was like, well, go outside and play Tetris. Which became more of a punishment because I wanted to be outside instead of just playing Tetris. But as time grew on, I enjoyed playing Tetris. You know, I played Tetris at nighttime, played it in the morning, rainy days, just not when I was outside.
I played Tetris. I got Tetris from a friend of mine, who also traded with me to get my Game Boy. I gave him my Game Gear, and I got a Game Boy. And yes, people, I'm dating myself here. I had a Game Gear in 94. I got it for my 13th birthday. And I got Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 and Sonic the Hedgehog 2 on Game Gear. That was a magical summer, too. Wow. I remember going up I went to stay with my cousin in Baltimore, Maryland. And when I left there, I went because my dad's wife's nephew, this has a mouthful, they were gamers. He and his little brother were gamers. And they had a Game Gear, so they taught me a whole bunch of tricks I didn't know, like such as the level select and the Chaos Emerald select for Sonic 2 on Game Gear. Unfortunately, his nephew has since died. He had cancer and he died, and I didn't get a chance to, you know, tell the guy goodbye or anything, but I like to think that he's looking down over me when I play Sonic the Hedgehog, because I remember telling him, you know, when I met him, I was like, man, I don't even like Sonic like that, but I bought it on Game Gear and it's hot. And he's like, yeah, it's hot, man. You should have bought that. You should have bought the original Sonic the Hedgehog. And I was like, no, I have a Super Nintendo. But yeah, we spent a lot of time together the weekend that we were together playing games. And I had a better appreciation for portable gaming after I met with him and got to talk with him. But also at the same time, I finally got a Game Boy like the next year or 2 years later, I think, and got hooked on Tetris. And I love Tetris. Like, it's one of the few games I can just sit down and play. Like, I'll lose track of time playing Tetris. Especially, I like B mode more than I like A mode, where you have to clear a certain number of lines. You got to clear like 25 lines or something. I prefer B mode because that's just more fun for me. There's a goal there. A mode, I could get stuck there playing until I died. So, and with Tetris, when I was a junior in high school, I'm sure if any of my teachers ever hear this, it's going to be bad. But when I was a junior in high school, I used to sneak my Game Boy to school. And I played Tetris while I was in French class, because I was an A student in French. So I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to what was going on in class. I'd be in the back playing Tetris. And I think I got up to level, I got 100 lines one time sitting there playing. And almost got in trouble a couple times, but I was pretty good at sneaking it in. But I think I got to also sneak in my Game Boy so I could trade with a couple of people for Pokemon. But yeah, I enjoy playing stuff on my Game Boy at the time. And I also bought Metroid 2 on Game Boy. And it was a pretty good game, too. I thought, it's hard, but it's pretty good.
Well, I didn't play the original Game Boy that much. I did play, I played Tetris, and I seem to remember Dr. Mario.
Yeah, Dr. Mario was hot.
I remember playing that. Actually, the only reason I remember playing that is we had a class, it was a chemistry class, I believe, and we had to play Dr. Mario.
Well, how did they wind up doing the colors for Dr. Mario, since it's a monochrome screen? How did they get the colors right? Because that's important.
Some things were black and some things were not.
But there's more than it's only two colors.
It's only a black and white screen. You only got grays.
Wow. Because there's only but so many colors.
Uh-huh.
For...
Uh-huh. Yep.
Wow.
So, yeah, later on, it's interesting.
I have Dr. Mario, what is it, Tetris... Not Tetris. Oh, Puzzle League.
Yes.
I have Dr. Mario Puzzle League, the combination game that they released for GBA.
It was much better.
Yeah. I enjoy Puzzle League. I actually grew to like Puzzle League, and I actually started playing Dr. Mario that way. I didn't play it when it came out on NES or when they re-released it the million times they've re-released it. I only played it on Game Boy. And I only played it on the GBA version. And then I got Dr. Mario. But that's actually a great combination game.
Yeah. I played some Pokemon. Didn't play it too much. A lot of my friends had Pokemon. The only Pokemon I played the most was on the GBA. And it's Pokemon Ruby. I remember playing that. And I played it for a long, long time. I don't think I collected everything.
No, I didn't collect anything, but it was huge, you know. I did enjoy the play. It still was the rock, paper, scissors, but it was just more involved in.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was a good game.
I had Pokemon trading card game on GB Color, and it was pretty good. I really enjoyed playing that because I played the trading card game many years ago, and it wasn't bad. I really liked it. It was, I mean, you had to learn the strategy of the trading card game, which is slightly different than actual Pokemon. So, it wasn't bad. I think I got all of the cards except four in the multiple decks that they had.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you bought me Pokemon Green, Leaf Green. When it came out, which I still haven't gone back and played again. I don't even remember what I started doing in that, and I really need to pick it up again, I guess. That, too, I got involved again because you're basically playing the beginning of... You're playing through all of Red and some of Gold and Silver. So, Red and Blue and some of Gold and Silver, I think. And I'm still in the Red part. Like, I haven't even gone over to the next island with the Deoxys and whatever. I haven't even gotten over there yet. So, that's a lot of... For the money they charged for that game, that was a lot of game you got with it, though.
You did. One of the Pokemon games that I thought I might like, but a lot of people said I wouldn't, was the Mystery Dungeons that came out for the DS. Man, I heard some huge Pokemon fans that say, oh man, it was great, and I had some others said, dude, get Pokemon Ranger instead.
Really?
So I didn't get either one of those just because the mixed views on it. So.
Yeah. I got Pokemon Pinball. Yeah. That's actually pretty good, too. I like the original Pokemon Pinball. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. I mastered it pretty much. And then a friend of mine who lives in Anderson told me, he was like, dude, you barely scratched the surface there. He was really good at it. His scores were pretty good at it. But you kind of have to be into pinball to really appreciate Pokemon Pinball, really.
I really couldn't get into pinball.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's not for everybody. It's one of those Pokemon games you really kind of have to really be into to really, really, really like it.
Didn't they have a Mario pinball?
Yes, they did. And it was awful because it didn't have a tilt function. Every good pinball game needs a tilt function. You've got to be able to tilt it.
Not all of them had it, though. I've worked on a bunch of them.
Yeah, I mean, machines and all, they don't necessarily have, like, actual stand-up pinball machines don't all have tilts. But on video games, you need the tilt function because and if you're sitting there playing a real-life pinball machine, you yourself can kind of shake the machine a little bit and do what you want to do. In a digital video game, you cannot. That's why you need the tilt function. And Pokemon Pinball has that tilt function. It's great. But Mario Pinball did not. And it kind of made it hard to play. It was really, really hard to play. And I'm trying to remember, did Metroid Pinball actually have the tilt function? Because I had that too. But, Mario Pinball, I was disappointed in that. I really was. And I really, really wanted to like it. And I tried it. And I was really disappointed. Because it didn't have the tilt to it. But
I don't know. I couldn't really get into the pinball games just because I worked on so many pinball games before. I couldn't see it, but as a handheld, I could see it was okay. I know if I got a PSP, I think one of the first things I would play just because I was huge in that series. And I do have it already for the PlayStation. It would probably be Final Fantasy Tactics because I like that series.
Yeah, I would play probably Little Big Planet if I don't even know if it's come out because I really don't pay a whole lot of attention to PSP stuff, but I would probably get Little Big Planet.
Little Big Planet, yeah, that'd be pretty decent. I'm trying to think. There was a couple other things on the PSP. I'll probably try God of War just because I haven't tried it before.
Chains of Olympus.
Yeah, I'll probably try that just because it is on the handheld. You know, they can't mess it up, right?
Yeah, that's the idea.
So, I mean, PSP has some good things. I'll definitely get a Tekken because I'm huge into Tekken like that. So I'll have to try that and see how that is.
I heard Soul Calibur was pretty good. Area 5 just recently did a handheld gaming show about them going out and camping in the woods of San Francisco. And they took their Game Boys with them and their PSPs, and they were talking about how they reviewed basically what the new Soul Calibur was like, and they said it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, Namco's come out and said it's supposed to be the last Soul Calibur, but of course, I think they said the same thing about Soul Calibur 3 too, so who knows? They used to put their heart and souls in something, they always say it's their last. I think that as a handheld version game of it to go, I mean, they're going to make it as good as they did Tekken Dark Resurrection, so I think they did a good job on it, probably.
Yeah, I was watching the video, and I liked to see the character creation that the guys were coming up with, and, like, Jason Bertrand had a whole bunch of characters that he made. Like, he made Ken from Street Fighter. He also made his character, he made MC Hammer. Ryan O'Donnell made a couple of characters too, and I really was impressed with the character creation, because they were like, it's actually a little bit better than 4's, they were saying. What I didn't like though was the fact that they were like, I don't like the character voices in the new Soul Calibers. Like, they talk way too much now. Like, in the first Soul Calibur on Dreamcast and in the arcade, I liked the level of sounds they made. I mean, you could always figure out who was playing just if you listen to, like, Killik. That's a noisy boy. He makes far too much noise, but you know when he's fighting somebody. In 2, they increased the talking, and that wasn't that bad, but it wasn't... I mean, it was... It served its place. But in 3, it was like, okay, now they're talking too much. And in 4, it was just outrageous. They just talked about everything they did. All the characters, whenever they would do a move, they would say something. And I was like, okay, we really don't have to have this level of talking in the game. Like, it was fine in 2, and I don't know why they increased it. But that was the one thing I noticed in the video that they were talking about with when they were talking about the new Soul Calibur on PSP. Broken Destiny. I don't know. I'm not that into Soul Calibur. I can watch it, and I love the original Soul Calibers, but I have to see how much I really, really could put up with the talking. If I can turn that off, that would be great, but I don't know.
You can't turn off the noise in Soul Calibur. That's what makes Soul Calibur. That's like saying having a World War II game and there's no explosions going on. You got to have talking.
Or no first-person shooter World War II games.
Oh, yeah. Those first-person shooters, World War II. Can we stop on those? I would like to stop. Can we move on past World War II?
No, because somebody's not getting that memo, obviously. Other handheld games that I really like, Animal Crossing, Wild World. I really liked the upgrade that they had made from the first Animal Crossing to the one on DS. I thought that was pretty good. It's a little limited now when I look at it, but boy, when I first played Animal Crossing Wild World, I was hooked. I loved it. And even now and then I pick it up and play it a little bit, but I kind of got back into it. And if you listen to my Animal Crossing Addiction podcast, which is episode 4, yeah, you hear how much I played Animal Crossing. It was ridiculous. Like, I was dead up in Animal Crossing. I'm trying to think, what else do I have on DS?
Mario Kart.
Yeah, Mario Kart DS was pretty hot. I liked it. It was pretty hot. It played like, because I didn't particularly care for the GBA version of it. I bought the GBA version of it when it came out, and I really didn't really care for it all that much. It was way too hard. The computer was rubber banding all over the place, and it just did not, to me, it did not feel like SNES Mario Kart. the original Mario Kart. But when I played Mario Kart DS, it was hard at first, and then I was like, okay, you know what, we need to adjust. And I got the hang of it, and I thought, oh, wow, this is actually better than I thought. And then all of a sudden, I just started winning races. But the computer does all kinds of stuff in the DS version of it, too. But yeah, it's not bad. I really actually like the game. It's very well done.
You know what I like for Nintendo to do?
What?
I would like Nintendo to make a Smash Brothers Brawl for the handheld. I mean, I'm pretty sure they'd be able to do it since they made Guilty Gear for the handheld. I mean, that was pretty good, and you have people playing against each other all the time. Yeah, I think they should do a Smash Brothers on the DS as a handheld. Have it link up where you can play against, you know, your friends, you know, at least four of them. Connect together. Play against people online. That'd be great. Hear that, Nintendo? Play against people online. That'd be great. But I think you should be able to do it. I think that would be perfect for it. What do you think about that? You think Smash Brothers would be good on there?
Yeah, I think that'll work, actually. I think, at first I thought, maybe not. They would have to maybe do the original. I don't think they could possibly do Brawl. Brawl's a little bit too involved, but if they mixed Melee... See, I'm trying to think. They can't really... You always have to remember with Nintendo architecture... For their handheld systems, it matches what their previous systems' main consoles were. Like, the DS is capable of doing Nintendo 64 games, Super Nintendo, and NES. Okay? The GBA was capable of doing NES and Super NES games. Okay? So, that's what I'm thinking. They would have to probably do... The first Smash Brothers, it would be able to handle the first Smash Brothers. It could do melee, but it would be small scale melee.
They can do melee.
I don't know if they could do full melee.
They know how to tone it down. They can tone down anything. That's what Nintendo does. And that's like $34.99 price ticket on there, and everyone to start buying.
Yeah.
Well, now you won't get as many items. As you did before. Actually, they might have it where you won't have any items unless you're playing against a computer. But still, you still have Melee. You have a good party game. You'll force people, Nintendo, to go out and buy DSs. Because if one person's got a DS and they got the Smash Brother DS on it. Because that's what you're going to call it. Smash Brother DS.
Yeah.
One person's got it. They're going to play against someone else. Someone else has to go out and get it. So, I would say that would be a good game. I think that's a good concept. Yeah, that's a good idea. Good idea, Jamie. Good idea. Hear that, Nintendo? Good idea.
Bad idea. Trying not to, I was thinking good idea, bad idea from Animaniacs.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm looking through my collection of Game Boy games and see what I got. On GBA, I have Dr. Mario Puzzle League. Which is really good. I got that for $15 from somewhere. I don't know where. And, by the way, I have these three case, Game Boy Advance case holders. They can hold three at one time. And they're pretty good. They don't take up a whole lot of space in my case. Which I'll describe in a minute. But other games that I have. Classic NES series Super Mario Brothers. Got that for $8.85. Final Fantasy V Advance, which is awesome. Because I love Final Fantasy V. It's like the only one in the series I'll even bother playing. It's pretty good. I got that for $24.99. Probably from GameStop. Or it was either from GameStop or this place called Video Game Cavern. Actually, it's GameStop because I recognize the little sticker on it. Super Mario World. Which is Super Mario Advance 2. Y'all heard me talk about that earlier. Let's see. Pokemon Leaf Green version. Y'all heard me talk about that. Harvest Moon Friends of Mineral Town. Which, if you played the original Harvest Moon on PlayStation. Not the original, but it was Back to Nature on PlayStation. I love that game, and I have it on PlayStation 2, but I also bought it on Game Boy because I really wanted to be able to take my Harvest Moon stuff on the go with me. I also have Classic Series NES Castlevania, which y'all also heard me talk about. And that was $9.99. And that's about it for my GBA games right now. The rest I have somewhere. We're going to leave it at that. I have it somewhere. DS games. I have New Super Mario Brothers, which, as a Nintendo head, most people know I would have. Point Blank DS, which I played the heck out of on PlayStation. Oh my gosh, I played the heck out of that game. With contributing writer Marcus Burns. He's a big Point Blank fan. Point Blank 2 specifically. I also have Wurzhong, which is not bad. It's actually pretty good. It's like Scrabble meets Mahjong Solitaire, or quote Shanghai. I finished the puzzle mode where you have to go through and level up your little person or whatever, and it was pretty enjoyable. I liked it. I learned how to make a whole lot of big words out of it. That's what a college education does for you people. I also have Chrono Trigger, which I specifically went out and bought because I missed it the first time around on Super Nintendo, and I played it on Super Nintendo, but I was not a big fan of it then. And if you read, it was one of our past issues. We looked at Chrono Trigger in Retrograde for Super NES, and you'll find that I actually went back and played the game again, and I enjoyed it the second time around. The first time around, I wasn't all that impressed, but I was impressed enough this time around to buy it on DS. I also have Mario Kart DS, Super Mario 64 DS, and Solitaire Overload, because I'm actually a Solitaire card game player. I do play it quite often, so I wanted a Solitaire game to take with me. I also have Planet Puzzle League, which was actually pretty good. Tetris DS, which of course played a lot of Tetris, and Scribblenauts in another case. Also have Puzzle Quest, Challenge of the Warlords, which we talked about earlier, and Animal Crossing Wild World. And finally, my last three are Scrabble for the DS, which of course, as a copy editor, Scrabble is enjoyable because I have to deal with words every day, so you know, I can use my vocabulary that I've picked up over the years to do pretty well in Scrabble. Ultimate Mortal Kombat, which if you've listened to our, I think it was episode 2, we talked about the rise and fall of Mortal Kombat in America. Y'all know I really was going to buy Ultimate Mortal Kombat when it came out on DS. And I also have Pokemon Troisi, which is weird. It's kind of like Bejeweled with Pokemon. That's the best way I can describe it, is Pokemon Bejeweled. But it's actually pretty good. I bought it when it came out too, and I thought it was a worthy purchase. But yeah, I have a whole bunch of games. I used to have other games, like I had Super Princess Peach, but I beat that pretty quickly and I traded it back in. It wasn't a bad game, it was just very easy, so I felt no need to keep it. And that was on DS. And I had New York Times Crosswords, which is pretty good for a crossword puzzle game, but it's hard. If you don't do crosswords all the time, you know, you kind of stuck in the later days of the week, because it's based on days of the week for the New York Times crossword. Also had USA Today Crosswords, which it was okay, but it wasn't as good as it could have been, I thought. But yeah, we do a lot of handheld gaming. What kind of games do you have, James?
I have Puzzle Quest. I have Final Fantasy Tactics Advance 2. Animal Crossing. Yeah, Wild World. The Legend of Zelda classic for the GBA. Excitebike for the GBA. I think that's about it. I think that's all I have right now.
Wow. What else? You had some other stuff too, though. Before we had to do all the buying over again.
Yeah, I had Azuna, which was a really awesome Atlus game that came out for the DS by the ninja who really didn't want to be with a group, but that was pretty good. I didn't get that far in it before that kind of disappeared. I did have the Guilty Gear game. Guilty Gear, yeah. So I remember having that. And I can't remember what else I had, but Mario Kart. I did have Mario Kart, so. But I think I traded Mario Kart in. I can't remember, but I mainly like on handhelds. I particularly like RPGs mainly, like Final Fantasy. I had Final Fantasy IV for a while, which is a great game. So I enjoyed IV. I enjoyed Final Fantasy III. III was also really good. So usually on handhelds, I like RPGs, that's mainly what I like. Maybe some RTSs, depending on what they have, but they never have good RTSs.
Was it Civilization?
Oh, yeah, it was the
Age of Empires.
Age of Empire game. Yeah, that's Age what of it Empires was. 3. The first one, yeah.
You had 3.
Yeah, it's Age of Empires 3 for the DS, but they released like two different versions of it. And one that said it was really, really bad.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I tend to like to play my little stuff. I really need to get back in Animal Crossing, I guess. My town, I haven't played it in about 4 or 5 months. So my town probably looks like crap right now, but I really need to get to playing it again, I guess. And if I could ever get a PSP, I probably am going to get Gran Turismo, definitely. I want to get Gran Turismo, and I want to get Little Big Planet. And I gotta probably have 3 more games, and I'm sure I can find 3 more games that I really want, like Darkstalkers. Because all that is Vampire Chronicles, basically. It's Vampire Chronicles on DC, on Dreamcast. It's a port of it. I'm trying to think what else they had on there. But it was something, it was a couple more games that I said, ooh, yeah, I'd play that. I'd actually buy it for that. So, I have to see. I'll look and see on a list of what I want to get for PSP. But, I mean, you know, I can respect any company that's trying to give you good gaming on the go. And I can. I can always respect them for that, for trying. So, any parting thoughts on gaming on the go, Jamie?
Smash Brothers DS. Make it happen.
They might not do that, seeing as though it's called Smash Brothers. It's not called Smash Brothers in Japan, but it's something DX. I can't remember I can't remember exactly how to pronounce it, but it's DX. So they might have a problem with you know, it sounding too similar throughout the regions or whatever. I don't know, but they can find some way to get around that, I'm sure. It's Nintendo.
Just slap a name on it. Say Nintendo Powwow Time or something like that. I don't care. It's just as long as it has it.
Okay. Well, that wraps up this week's Editor's Weekly Podcast. Check us out next week. We're going to be talking about... let's see. We're talking about hard early video games, which all of y'all know what we're talking about. We're talking about those games... retrograde games that were ridiculously hard on the NES and the Genesis. That means you too, Altered Beast. I forgot about you, but Altered Beast. Games that were extremely hard, unnecessarily hard in some cases, that people still remember today as being really, really hard. I'm actually really looking forward to that one, because there's a few on that list that need to be smacked for their difficulty, insane difficulty. Anyway, give us a listen next week. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.